town you never heard of.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Common Folk Podcast with Ben, Morgan, and Andy.
Welcome back to Common Folk.
Right, podcast for the people, by the people.
You guys, we should just cut that right there. That was on point. Ben, your voice was really good.
We should just record it and just hit that, just hit play every time.
Right.
Like that could be one of your ABC buttons instead of a clap. That one. Yeah, you could just like, that's serious. That was good. That was real good.
It keeps you sharp, though, you know. You're going to have to perform, and, like, you got to learn that board a little bit better there, Ben. You got to know what's going on there.
Yeah, don't know where the buttons are.
But does that mean I need to level up and say something, too? Like, because you have your saying now?
Maybe.
Andy?
I don't know. And just, you got to read the room and the situation. So, you know, it's not always going to be the same thing every time.
Okay, that's true. Well, it's close, but, yeah. All right.
That's true. That's a good point.
Feel good today, though. Feel good this morning. It's a little cooler out.
Dude, yeah, the weather's cooled off a little bit. We're getting a little little break in the heat.
Kind of feels like fall.
It does.
Which I like fall, but I don't like what follows, so. You know. But no, I think it's going to be 80, 90 this weekend.
Yeah, it is going to heat back up. But those rains that blew through basically the entire state over the last week and a half, I mean, those are lifesavers.
It's been nice.
Our ranch was going through like year four of a D3 or worse drought, and now all of our hillsides are green for like the first time at this time of summer in a long time.
Oh, wait, you're saying the last 4 years you didn't hire like that rain company to come out?
We did. We didn't get our clouds seeded properly.
Yeah, so. Okay. You know, there's a few companies out there you could against each other, probably.
Hey, and do you find these people on TikTok? I think that's what we're going to get after here in a little bit. But if I was going to go down the conspiracy theory as far as weather goes, I bet I could tie a pretty good correlation between this huge-ass wind farm that went up right next to our ranch and storms dissipating and going away from us, like about the same time.
Wait, so do explain. What do you mean, a wind farm? They just put up those big...
Yeah, the big turbines.
Yeah.
So my thought is, and there's various, once again, unfortunately, got to get on TikTok or X, Twitter, to really get into it, and that's easily discredited. It's just our mindset, but... these storms would come follow this river system down, you know, past our ranch, and you could kind of count on X number of storms per summer. But, you know, weather's static. So you're going to go through stretches of droughts. You're going to go through stretches of wet seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But when this wind farm went up, I think you're seeing a lot more of these storms rolling down. You just watch the Doppler system, the radar. You watch that. These storm systems come down, and then they get close to us, close to that wind farm, and they dissipate. Well, what is a wind farm? It's stealing energy out of the sky, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's breaking up the storms. I don't think anyone meant for that to happen. I hope not, you know?
Right.
But I think that's what is happening on some level. I think it's pretty easy. You can look at that and see that that's going on.
Wow.
What direction... Okay. From you is the wind farm.
It's just to the south of us.
Just to the south?
Yeah. And so, you know, you could argue that, well, that, you know, that's only a small portion of your ranch and that's the south side of the ranch. And this, well, my point is, I think that these wind farms are taking energy from the sky, you know, and making electricity or whatever, you know.
I mean, I don't think it's a far reach to say that they're affecting like wind patterns and stuff like that.
Oh, so that
you know what I mean?
Oh, so like if a storm was coming towards you and something, there's like this big old machine just sucking that storm to the south, that might have an impact. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, doesn't that seem pretty logical?
It does seem very logical. Now, do you obviously you know these people? You guys beefing or you're fine?
No, we're more than fine. Jared works for the company now.
Okay. All right. It just stinks for the rain. I gotcha. Okay.
But the gravy train, I think, will run out and has to run out. And what I mean by that is these type of companies wouldn't run without subsidies. But you could point to just about any company and say, like, well, then your corn farmer couldn't operate either without subsidies. Well, okay, let's make it to where it does. You know, like, right. Let's not be reliant on a handout from the government to make this thing work. Right. If it's that good and wind energy is so green and so turnkey, you know, efficient.
If it's so viable. Then,
yeah, if it's so viable, then let's let it run without the subsidies.
Right.
Right. Let's let it stand on its own.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah. It's, another unpopular subsidies, the WNBA. If it's so popular and people want to see women's professional basketball, why is it subsidized by the NBA every year? It works at a loss every year.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's a fun little thing on subsidies there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of like the weather and how things are going around here and outdoor activities, we got the dam race coming up next week.
Yeah. Are you guys in shape for that?
I'm in much better position this year than I was last year.
Really?
I think I'm in worse.
Oh.
I was running by, for sure. I ran a couple times.
You were getting after it last year.
But you've been prepping for the 50-mile march, which is a different deal, but you've at least been doing stuff.
And this week has just been nuts. You know, you can always find an excuse, but it has. So, yeah, I need to get out and run. So 3 miles, that will be interesting.
Yeah,
for folks who don't know what we're talking about, Crofton's dam race. So just north of here up on the Nebraska-South Dakota border, they put on this triathlon every year. If you've listened to the podcast, you've heard the episodes we've done with them. Super cool group of people. Mm-hmm. We I wouldn't say competed, but we participated in
it last year. That we competed.
That is more of the our speed.
I saw people finishing behind us.
Right, yeah. That was because they started in flights. That was the flight behind us that started.
Stop.
So anyway, we're doing it again this year. They give you the opportunity. It's triathlon, but they give you the opportunity to do it in legs. So we're splitting it up. The water portion, which most people are... is the part that people don't want to do.
Yeah, swimming.
Yeah, these folks do it as a kayak, which is kind of cool. So I'm doing the kayak portion. Last year, I was nowhere near ready for that. I didn't know what I was getting myself
that
into.
That kid's life jacket is probably going to fit him this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not wearing that again.
I'm kidding.
We have some life jackets.
We do, too. I just grabbed the wrong one.
Yeah. But this year... actually, I was working out at my buddy's gym yesterday, and I was just thinking about it, and I'm like, gosh, this is like a week and a half away, week away. And he's got like a cable machine where you can row.
Oh,
so
nice.
I sat down, and I was doing that, and I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, it's a different set of muscles.
Right there. Right?
Oh, yeah. I thought you've been rowing there.
No, not much.
Oh.
Going over there and doing something else, huh?
But that'll be fun. It's a cool event. So if you, I think you can probably still sign up if you haven't already. I saw a sign up this past week get emailed out.
Yeah.
And they've said that. They're pretty loose. They're pretty accommodating.
They want people there to the town and all the things. I was going to say my sister's doing the biking portion, and she and her husband bike a decent amount, but she had gotten a new bike, I think, a year ago. Anyway, she has to like clip in her shoes. She's crashed twice.
Oh,
dang.
Yeah,
she's used to it, huh?
So she's thinking about maybe switching the pedals to not clip in. And I was like, yeah, that might be a good idea.
This isn't the best time to be thinking that either. Like, that's a hilly track.
I know. You know? Yeah. So I was like, maybe you should... Because, like, think about it. If you need to fall, or, like, I don't get that. You're clipped in.
You're
just go,
not allowed to fall.
Yeah. Don't fall. Don't fall.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Well, so Ashley and I, we haven't been training at all or whatever. I very rarely do anyway. But Ashley hasn't been on her bike. So, and we got invited to a gathering, a little camp out thing, an old college buddy of mine. Well, Andy Teese, we had him on the show. So we're going to go down there and partake in that.
Cool.
Have some fun.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
Sounds like a cool little event.
Do you get to bring the kids or will they get baby?
Yeah, okay. There's like a pool party attached to it. So you just throw the kids at the pool and then the guys looks
hope
like they
can swim. And
ours can swim.
No, I'm kidding.
Yours definitely can.
We'll get Ben's life jacket.
Okay. Yeah.
If you want to check it out, go to Crofton's with an S, Crofton's, damrace.com. It's July 26th.
And that's DAM.
So
DAM race. It's pretty fun. We're gonna have a good time for it. I'm looking forward to it. Gonna stay in the cabins up there and hang out a little bit. So
yeah, it's a great. It's just such
Ben's
a beautiful
gonna kill it this year. I just know it, and then I'm gonna be like throwing
I don't think
up.
So.
It's just a beautiful part of the country, too.
It is. It's pretty, it's pretty scenic. Yeah. Yep. It's wild that, you know, a lot of people don't realize, like, that's Nebraska.
I know. Yeah. It's pretty cool. Beautiful. Yeah. So hilly and up and down. You know, if we come back next year, Ashley and I, we might be able to get a ringer. Guest we just had on, Riley Pleka, after a year rowing with Kansas State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That she'll take care of the kayak.
That means you may have to run, Andy.
Oh, no. You know what? My brother is doing marathons now, so I'll make him do that.
So now you're
I'm more of a, you know, a
you
manager.
Want a coach?
Yeah,
okay.
Coach. You know, that fits my rubric.
You're the photographer. What are you talking about? Yeah. Give yourself some work. Straight cred here.
Yeah, no, that'll be fun. So this week, what do we got going on the podcast this week?
Well, something's come and gone, and there was a lot of buzz about it there for a minute, and then it fizzled out like a lot of things on social media do. But, you know, it caught my interest because it was Nebraska's going bankrupt.
Oh.
Nebraska's going bankrupt.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we're in it, and we're at a $400 million shortfall at the beginning of the year. And then I think the way this process works is from that time up to June, which is just come and gone, that's our government has that time to balance that budget out. And it's like a federal law, like the state has to send in a balanced budget by the end of June.
Okay.
But Nebraska was still $289 million short at the beginning of June.
So that caught people's attention then.
Yeah.
I see.
So some finance gurus on TikTok felt the need to inform us people that we're in a world of shit and it's our fault and Nebraska's the worst and we're bad people and all these things. And so that caught, you know, the attention of some people around Nebraska, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And, you know, I just bought a new truck and I have a nice new combine with my name etched in the seats. you know, yes, our farm has worked at a deficit for years, but I feel pretty good right now. You know, personally, I'm a millionaire. So right. I think we're okay, you know? So anyway, there was a little bit of rebuttal and some actual journalist went to the state capitol and asked some bigwigs what's going on, and they all just poo-pooed it and said, like, look.
It's not a big deal.
Get over it.
Yeah, we have something like 600 different cash funds that we can dip into and grab, totaling billions of dollars. We have a rainy day fund that would just easily squash that. And one of the guys talked about how you know, like 8 years ago, the deficit was way worse than this. And it was, you know, we just rolled over it and the next year we got it back. So, like, I don't know.
Is it true?
The numbers are just kind of big and kind of hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah.
But I was thinking we could play this guy, Johnny Bananas is his name.
Okay, yeah, play this Bananas guy.
And then we can do the rebuttal one and kind of break it down from there.
Okay.
So let's see if I can get this guy going.
So a little bit of fuck around and find out today. As we delve into the problem of Nebraska as a microcosm for the United States. There's another creator on here who delves into this very deeply for like 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm going to put her video in the description because she does a great job.
I checked the description. It wasn't
there. I'm going to try to sum it up a little bit to make it easier to digest. So as we've all known for months, Nebraska is worried about going bankrupt, and many people have projected that it's going to happen in a matter of months. And while many people really don't care because it's a red state and they screwed themselves, we have to understand that this state-level crisis could very quickly be a prototype for what happens to all of us on a federal level. There are many reasons why they have such a huge deficit, but part of it is because not only is Nebraska one of those states that takes more from the federal government than they contribute. You know how Republicans and people on the right love to say that the blue states are the ones taking all the welfare when every single time we show them that it's all the red states? The red states are consistently the poorest and have the highest rate of welfare and food stamps, etc. Well, not only are Republicans and the Doge trying to slash all of those programs for people, but the majority of the people in that state opted for dumpy pants in this recent contest. And more than half of the agricultural workforce in this country are immigrants. So when Dumpy started implementing ICE raids and deporting people, a lot of those migrants in Nebraska just peaced out to a better state, which is causing massive food shortages, but also contributing a lot to their deficit because that's what they mostly produce. So they screwed themselves voting for Republicans who further took away their social programs and took away a lot of their workforce. And it gets even worse because the way they're trying to address this is by using their cash reserves to address the shortfall. So just like every state has cash reserves, Nebraska's going to try to use theirs to address their budget shortfall, which is not going to cover all of it. And since the Republicans are trying to slash all of these benefit programs, that means there's a lot less money in those reserves to go to the actual people, which is just going to further make people poorer while prices go up. So in other words, this is their only plan, and it's not going to work. And this is what we have to think about on a federal level. Because with constipated Caligula and the Republicans attempting to slash all social programs, raising prices, doing trade wars, and devaluing the dollar, not to mention getting rid of a lot of our agriculture workforce, what's happening in Nebraska could easily happen to dozens of states around the country. And the ironic thing is that it's going to hit all the red states first. The red states are the poorest, they take the most in federal subsidies, they have the largest numbers of immigrant workforce, and those are the states that people are going to start moving out of when they can't afford to live there anymore. If they can even afford to leave. This really should have been its own episode if we told you so. Because by opting for this authoritarian government and empowering the Republicans, Nebraska, and possibly the entire country, no matter how many times they were warned, just screwed itself over.
Hmm.
So that a couple of those things, like, you listen to that stuff and you don't know who that guy is. I don't know who that guy is. You know what I mean?
I don't either. Yep.
And you listen to it and you're like, you have no reason to think that he's not right. You know what I mean? So you hear all those things and you're like, oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Very convincing.
And I do think he's speaking some truth, but I also know because I live here, a lot of the stuff that he's saying is completely wrong. Which a lot of people don't. So, I mean, you got to like, you have to kind of look at some of these things like question it, not just automatically go with it.
Right.
Are we really the poorest?
In particular, what I'm getting at is where he's talking about the immigrant workers and how this is so dramatically affecting Nebraska, how the Trump administration with these ICE raids and these kinds of things. Yes, we've had some of that here with we've got a meatpacking plant in Omaha.
Yeah.
There's a couple things like that, but this isn't like fields of vegetables or watermelons.
This is a Washington state.
Yeah, that immigrants are out picking. That's right. Not how our agriculture works around here. No. Like our farmers are today and always have been short on labor.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not running around employing a bunch of illegal immigrants. That's not what it's like when you walk on a Nebraska farm.
No.
It's some local farm kid that they can get out of class early to come run the combine or whatever. That's what's going, or some retired guy that's driving the semi truck. I mean, that's the scenario with agriculture. Yeah. So what he's talking about with immigrant workers and agriculture in Nebraska, that's not the case. And he says all these red states are suffering from that. Actually, I listened to the Sean Ryan podcast quite a bit.
Yeah.
He went out on a limb and had Gavin Newsom on.
I heard about this. Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I want to listen.
I've been listening to it. I'm about 3/4 of the way through it. It's almost a 5-hour podcast.
Oh, geez.
But
oh boy.
That is, and Gavin Newsom obviously talks about all the stuff that goes on in their state. That is a state that's being dramatically affected by that.
But California's a red state?
No, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, to what this dude is talking about.
Yeah.
That's obviously a blue state being more affected by that than almost any other state as far as the immigrant workers in agriculture.
Yeah.
So my point is that there's nuggets to take from that. He's definitely, there's some stuff he's bringing up that is worth absolutely digging into, but some of it, it's like, dude, no, that's not the way it works. I'm guessing that dude's not from Nebraska and he's just talking about farm in general because he thinks he understands farm.
Or he's talking about those ICE raids because that was very known.
Yeah, but he's specifically talking about agriculture and how it's affecting our he basically says all those guys do in Nebraska is make food and now they can't make food because they don't have immigrant workers.
But make food, I think, in the plants is what I
But even that, we don't even have the majority of
plant
processing.
Agree.
So it just doesn't.
But what caught my ear was that, but then he said, oh, then they'll move to other blue states.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's more expensive there. Like, they're just going to, like, immigrant workers think that they can leave Nebraska and go. We couldn't afford to go to California. No. We wouldn't want to, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Colorado, it's so expensive in other places. So I don't know. I guess.
And I mean, he's like, so they're going to go to sanctuary cities then? Or what? You know? And then they're the ones really getting hit by ICE the hardest right now. I mean, those. Yeah. Even the city governments are getting sued now by the federal government. Right.
But I guess back to the budget, it's just, like you said, clickbait stuff. I mean, how does one know that we're, I mean, is it so published that we're so billions behind?
We're millions. I
mean, millions. Yeah. And that's a known fact. Like people can just look that up.
According to just a quick Google search, you search Nebraska budget deficit.
Okay.
The first thing that comes up is for the 20 to 25 term, or I'm sorry, 25 to 27 term, projected deficits ranging from 129 million to 432 million.
Okay.
So yeah, we're at 400 by my understanding at the beginning of the year, and that got worked down to 289, which and you said about 100 there. So yeah, and I can't even pretend to begin that I understand all this, which I also think there's a couple overlaying things that I want to get out there. I think it's made complex by design. Mm-hmm. I don't think they want us. I don't think they want the common folk to really understand how money's getting shuffled around, how people are getting abused, how companies are allowed to make a profit or not. Mm-hmm. You know, one thing that I love about that guy, is that he's at least sparking the conversation, because otherwise a lot of these things wouldn't have come up. And so I think it's good that the common folk caught wind of this, and now we're diving into it. Like, okay, so what is deficit? What is going on there? Why isn't our budget balanced?
Yeah.
Why not at the beginning of every year in January? Why aren't we at a surplus if everything's so good like we're being told? Why don't we have a surplus of money? Why do we have a deficit of $400 million? Like, these are just simple, stupid questions. Mm-hmm. And I think it's made complex by design.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it. So I admire how he's at least bringing some of these kind of shocking facts to the forefront. I don't think he needs to be so smug, but obviously that's part of his shtick, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's also another thing I just can't stand. When he's calling Coniglia dumpy pants due to a medical issue that he has, when you're taking the your irks out on not the policy, but the person, and his characteristics, wrong. Already a red flag then.
Okay, so
now your argument against him is that his skin is too orangey for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's an orange man. Like, oh, I thought we were supposed to be accepting of all colors of skin. But anyway, I didn't realize, you know.
Not orange.
Yeah, yeah, but not orange. So that right there, to me, sends red flags thinking, okay, there's,
you don't
need to say that. You don't need to get after that. But that's a shtick to get clicks and get people fired up.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear the rebuttal?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
So, and this is another thing that goes along line with what I admire about this Johnny Bananas, and it sounds odd that I would use the word like admire. I just like that he's bringing this
to the table.
To the table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and this is how ass backwards things are now. So once those went viral on TikTok and then Twitter or X, actual, you could say legacy media caught wind of it and it got to be too big. So then they had to address it. So rather than just not talk about it,
they had to report on it.
And a local Omaha station, KETV, sent a young reporter. She did a fine job interviewing everybody and bringing it all. And let's hear her rebuttal. But the point is, without him raising a stink about it never would have been addressed, I don't think, by legacy media or the big boys.
Okay.
Right? Okay. My internet's not working good out here today.
Oh, you got the...
Yeah.
You get the rural.
On TikTok are claiming that Nebraska is going bankrupt, so I decided to go to the state capitol to get to the bottom of these claims. I asked about this rumor to State Senator Rob Clements, the chair for the Appropriations Committee, State Senator Brad Von Gillern, the chair for the Revenue Committee, and also to Rebecca Firestone, the Open Sky Policy Institute Executive Director. And all of them had the same answer.
Nebraska's not going bankrupt.
Any fears about Nebraska's financial position probably comes from a misunderstanding of how the budget process works.
We don't have provisions where the state could pass a budget that is in a deficit. That would basically allow for a bankruptcy.
The state was, in fact, at a $400 million budget shortfall at the beginning of January, but now the projected budget shortfall is at $289 million. The state has a constitutional obligation to balance this budget by the end of June, and also the state has protected funds set up. These provisions are the 3% minimum reserve requirement, which acts as the cash flow for the state, the rainy day fund, which acts as their savings account, and cash funds.
There are 600 cash funds in state agencies totaling $2.8 billion.
To make a long answer short, no, Nebraska is not going bankrupt. However, the state is currently working on balancing the budget to make up for the $289 million shortfall.
Okay, so
there you go.
What's interesting about that is, well, number one, of course, everyone's going to say, no, we're not going bankrupt, right?
Right, the people
who are in charge of it, because if they did, then that's like admitting that they're not doing their job, right?
Exactly.
So that's what they're going to say. But what I found interesting in there, so I'm Google searching now, is she said that, or they were saying that the budget will be balanced, it has to be balanced by June.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's July right now, so we should be able to figure out, did they balance it?
Right.
What happened? Do you have any idea? I'm Googling it right now.
Do we have a balanced budget?
Well, what happens? Does someone just get a little slap on the wrist, or do we get a fine? Get put in timeout?
Yeah, does that Senator Clements, does he get put over the Uncle Sam's knee and he gets a little spanking?
Right.
You know?
That's what I'm wondering. Is this like
that was frustrating, too, because all three of those people that she interviewed just said, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. And the one guy even talked down to her as much as saying, that's just because you don't understand how the budget works. Oh, shut the fuck up. Then make me understand. I got time.
Right.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah.
How about educate instead of just, right, yeah.
So even when they are pressed on it, and it's like, well, no, that's $289 million right now. What's going on? Oh, that's just how it works. You just don't understand how it works. You know, so, okay, well, then tell us how it works.
Yeah, break it down. Someone's got to know how it works. I mean, Ben, can you imagine doing this job, balancing a budget with that much money?
I have to do a mini version of that.
No, I know, but you're like, we always make, not make fun, but kind of make fun that you don't love money, right?
I hate every minute of it.
So what if that was your job? Hell no.
I couldn't do that, no.
No.
So it says on here that, yes, Nebraska lawmakers did balance the state budget, overcoming a $432 million deficit. This was achieved by a combination of spending cuts, fund transfers, and drawing from state's rainy day fund. Now they're saying a surplus is projected for the next two fiscal years. They are aware of potential challenges and uncertainties that could impact the budget in the future. It says here's a detailed breakdown, but it's not really detailed. Again, it just says the combination of those things. It's very vague, like, okay, one of the fixes was transferring funds.
Yeah, from what to what.
Right.
Well,
were they robbing Peter to pay Paul?
Well, he said they have over 600 different type of saving accounts to get into if there is a shortfall.
But where do you get that money from?
That savings.
Yeah, but
Nebraska is very conservative. I think
it's interesting, though, how...
we have over $400 billion saved up to bail us out. Like, that's in the state different funds from what I take out of this. So how can we – I don't – those numbers are way too big for me to even understand.
Yeah.
But I know a billion is a lot bigger than a million. So if we're $400 million in deficit and we have over $400 billion
we're set good. Aside,
yeah, what they just said with the stroke of a pen, we're 2 years now balanced out.
So then back to that guy saying that to that girl, he's like – Yep. That's what he's thinking. Billion, million. Oh, come on. Like,
probably.
We'll just rescue. I mean, it's fine. You know what I mean? So maybe that not taking his side, but.
And I think this does go into the current policy. Like, changes have to be made, obviously. And I think it kind of goes back to a conversation maybe we had a little while ago where a lot of these institutions and companies were taking advantage of people that were here maybe illegally.
Yeah.
And so, like, when you're not paying people and you're not paying benefits, when you're doing things under the table, And that's how you have things budgeted out. Well, obviously, it's not going to add up when you're not allowed to do that anymore. Right?
True. Yeah.
I don't know if that plays into it at all or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that, you know, we hear all this federal news about, like, the Doge Committee and mm-hmm. all those things that are going on, all the cuts that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm positive that that's had an effect on state revenue. I'm sure there's no way it couldn't have.
Right.
And it probably needed to have happened.
I don't like people being trafficked.
Right, yeah. So there's that. So I'm sure a lot of states have had a cut in that. One of these articles I'm reading says that Nebraska's net receipts for the year, and so this was like the last fiscal year.
Ben's bringing receipts.
Yeah, yeah. The last fiscal year ended on June 30. So for the last fiscal year, is down 1.4%, equating to $86 million. So they took in $86 million less than they thought they were going to be able to take in basically July to July. So that was a big part of it. But what makes that up? I don't know, but I'm sure a lot of that is some of that federal stuff.
Sure.
Let's see here. But yeah, I mean, that's going to take a hit. The other thing that is very interesting to me about Nebraska is I feel like we have one of the higher property tax rates.
Say our tax rates are through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you keep hearing talk about those coming down and getting control and these special mm-hmm. exemptions and blah, blah, blah. But I never see anything happen. But our property tax rates are high, man. And, you know, we own a little bit of property. Obviously, you know, we have a house. You have a house. You see the property tax on that.
Yeah.
It's going up every year. I get a new valuation every year. It continues to go up. I mean, that is a lot of damn money that's going to the state for property taxes. A lot of
why,
damn money.
Why is it so high?
Is we're very conservative. And
so, but that's why. So then we're pooling money for other purposes.
Right. That's those 600 other funds that they're talking about that total up to around $400 billion.
So that's a choice, right? Like, not choosing that we have to pay it, but who passes that in
our
property taxes? Okay.
Yeah. Lawmakers pass that. And there has been property tax relief, but then if it's, then why is it going up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Gambling got passed, 5 years ago now? And I think each casino 2 months ago cleared $100 million in profit, and 40% of that went to property tax relief.
Mm-hmm.
So then why are my property taxes going up? Once again, this seems kind of simple, but I guess it's not.
Here we go. Here's some numbers.
Okay, let's
hear it. So the biggest factors that contributed to their lower than expected receipts were individual and corporate income tax revenues. Individual income tax collections were $30 million short, 12% below expected, and corporate were almost $10 million short. So basically that means that, so that's income tax. Mm-hmm. So what that means is individuals, the citizens of Nebraska, the common folk, paid $30 million less in state income tax than what the state projected.
Mm.
Oh.
How does that happen? The only way that can happen is it means that they made less.
Well, or you move things around, you buy a truck, you know.
There's some of those things, but I think that stuff kind of happens all the time, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So that should almost even itself out. That's going to happen every year. People are buying things, people are shuffling things around. So in my opinion, it looks to me like people made less money. Now, I can tell you for a fact on my business's income taxes, our bottom line and what we had to pay to the government was way less this year than it was last year.
Yeah.
Specifically affected by the fact of the top line.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You sold less merchandise.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People are spending less money. Therefore, businesses are making less money. Therefore, having to pay less income taxes.
Yep.
Businesses, I don't know what businesses are doing with their employees' pay. I know we're small enough where we haven't lowered anybody's pay or anything like that, but there's probably a lot of organizations that have cut back overtime, have cut back hours.
Ice didn't sting you guys.
Right, right, yeah.
No.
But the point is that people are making less money,
right?
Obviously, if income tax is down that much.
No, you hit the nail on the head.
There it
is. That is a big problem, where if this shows proof that income tax is down that much, meaning regular income is down that much, and we know inflation is up and the cost of everything is up.
Yes.
So that means those things are going in the two opposite directions, which is a very bad thing.
Yes.
Stuff costs more, but you're making less money.
Right.
I mean, come on.
So So, yeah, I mean, that's going to equal a deficit,
right?
Won't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sad, actually, and, when you think about it.
And, yeah, our layman answer is, well, just higher property taxes. And that, in turn, isn't that just taxing the rich? That's just, isn't that what that's doing?
Well, property taxes is tough, man, because especially in a state like Nebraska, and, you know, to stick up for the farmers who own a ton of property. And I know sometimes they get the better end of this, sometimes they get the worst end of this, but you know, you own thousands of acres and property tax goes up and you just get jacked on those thousands of acres. I mean, the dollar amount is a lot. Not only that, I mean, just us, you know, you own a handful of acres,
right?
You own less than an acre, but you've got a, now what is a $400,000 house that should actually be a $200,000 house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you're paying double the tax on that.
Yep.
I mean, the property tax is absolutely unbelievable. And we could do an episode on, I would love to do an episode on property tax if we could get some kind of expert in here.
Who would come in here?
Because it bothers me like no other.
Yeah.
I cannot believe like the prospect of retirement. You've worked all your life. You own this home. You've paid it off. You've done all the work.
Yeah.
Now you don't have a job. Now you're in retirement, which is the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't afford your property tax. Like you own all this stuff.
Yeah, you've
worked and bought all this stuff, but now you still have to pay the government thousands and thousands of dollars
every year,
even though you don't have a job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm sure people would say, well, you should have saved up for that. You should have better retirement. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But I'm just saying at its core, that's not right.
Yeah. And that's kind of like with this, and I do believe it's being addressed, the death tax, it's called, for farms. I mean, where you're basically, when you try to, when the higher, the patriarch passes away and the farm has to go down to the second generation, there's this huge tax, and it basically gets to a point where it makes more sense to just break it up and sell it. And I think that's it goes along the lines of a lot of other conspiracy theories where it's kind of an attack on family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
And small businesses too. And my uncle, he was always kind of sharp with the taxes. Oh man, he hated that. He, you know, he really watched every penny. He just straight up moved over to Iowa. He just jumped the river.
Dude, I've heard a lot of people talk about that.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of nice little towns right across the river. You know, that basically offer everything that all these little Nebraska towns do. But property taxes are much lower. But I don't know. Then I hear but then your loaf of bread costs $4 and not $2. You know, I will get you that way. You know, whatever it is. So I don't know.
Are
you really going to beat the federal government system and the state system working together?
The other thing in terms of like corporate income tax and those kinds of things that I have questioned in the back of my mind that no one seems to be talking about is all these major tech companies that are moving here.
Mm.
A lot of people don't realize what's going on in Nebraska, but we have major investment from companies like Google, Facebook,
Amazon.
I mean, building these massive data centers, these massive, you know, working facilities, Amazon facilities, whatever. It's happening right here in our backyard.
Yes, big ones.
And people just aren't talking about it. And I promise you, those people are being made sweetheart deals to come here.
Yeah.
So when you look at
what do you mean, sweetheart deals?
When you look at what they say right here, a $10 million shortage in income tax collections, do you think that there could have potentially been some deals made with Facebook or Google saying, hey, you come here, you build this for X amount of years, your state income tax is going to be waived, or it's only going to be this amount, or you're not going to pay property tax or whatever.
Just whenever you want. Like they can decide
that. The state and the local jurisdictions can decide that, yes. That's deals that they make with companies. But these companies, like the amount of dollars that these companies are dealing with, you know, when you talk about not really being able to fathom a million or a billion, it's way bigger than that.
A trillion?
Well, I don't know. And it even happens on a smaller scale where, you know, like let's say Google would have built in Omaha, but no, La Vista, you know, La Vista makes them a better deal. So they build, you know, in the county over or whatever, you know, or township over.
I would love to see what that number is that if they were being taxed as Farm Focused is being taxed, how much money would have that been to the state?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that it's not a good move to bring those people in. It is in certain ways.
Of course.
But I'm saying, are we taking that into account when we're looking at these numbers? Because that's probably part of it.
I bet you're right. And it's also like, you know, having the College World Series. That's a huge money, you know, generator.
Mm-hmm.
Attracts a lot of people for 2 weeks. It really helps a lot of businesses, helps downtown Omaha. So then you kind of shrug your shoulders and you're like, well, yeah, but did it get moved there correctly? Was that legit how they did when, you know, so, yeah, it gets complex pretty quick.
Yes, it does.
One thing that I found in here, I think this is the last thing on this article. It says that, one of the things where there was an increase in tax collection was called miscellaneous taxes. And they specifically point out that that includes, alcohol and cigarette tax.
Hmm.
Miscellaneous tax revenue came in $33 million higher than expected.
Wow.
So we go back to this, the income tax shortage, the individual income tax shortage, that was 30, but the miscellaneous income or the miscellaneous sales was up 33. So that outran it. So even though people had was making less money, they were spending more on alcohol and cigarettes.
Yeah. Well,
that's
I mean,
sad.
There's a lot of fun boozy drinks out there now. You know, well, there's all these new flavors.
Not only that,
sugary.
A lot of it is is like
people being in misery,
like depression buying.
Yes,
yeah.
I know. I was trying to put a fun light on that.
But. Yeah. Well, you could still like have a fun little fruity drink, even though you hate your life. I mean,
right.
It's all right.
No, and I've talked to that to some people, distributors with booze. And in the heart of the COVID eras, those sales were through the roof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And towards the tail end, they were so high. They're like, this, we can't sustain this. This is crazy how much people are drinking right now.
Right. There's nothing else to do. I mean.
Well, but I think it does fall into what Ben's getting at. And it's kind of a dire situation. It's sad. I do think depression plays a part in that. You know, it's an easy release. And yeah, what are you supposed to, like, you're not Amazon. You're not going to work yourself a better tax deal right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're getting paid less and we're charging you more on everything.
Weren't there a lot of babies made too? So, I mean, drinking.
Oh,
and,
yeah. It was kind of, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what the number is of the cost of of having a baby, how much that's gone up.
Yeah.
Or the collection from the hospitals.
Oh, I'm sure.
I bet you can get a lot of bar charts that kind of like mirror each other.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure of it. I mean, like you said, there wasn't much else to do. So
I think we need to get an economist. Is that what they're called? To come in and kind of put our mind at ease?
I don't know one. Yeah. I don't have a friend that is one. Do you? Anybody?
No. Not me. That ain't my bag. I got one other thing I was going to say. I feel like, you know, it's kind of like, if you go down to the individual level again, so you go to like, say, the individual family, most likely what's going to happen, and I know this has happened with us, so I'm speaking from experience, and I suspect this happens with a lot of people, is that you kind of live to what your means are, what your income is.
Yes.
So like, as we've made more money over the years, we've had nicer shit. You know, as we've not, you know, things have pulled back. You know, you kind of live that way. You live to that. And that isn't necessarily the right way to do it. It's just that, you know, when you start making more money, you start collecting more money, you start buying these things that you wanted and you kind of get bigger, you get a bigger machine.
Yeah.
So I'm correlating that to the government, a state like Nebraska, who has collected property tax at such a high rate for so long, has been in a position where they've had a good amount of money to spend and they've gotten to this certain size. When something hits, like these income tax deficits, the federal government comes in and pulls the rug out of underneath you and says, hey, we're taking back $100 million or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You're not ready for it. And then all of a sudden, you've got to go backwards. You've got to downsize.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably a similar position to what our state is in right now. Although they have, as they've said, they've done a good job of saving money in in those savings accounts so they can handle this. Where the true test is going to be is, okay, you're using that money out of savings, you're fixing this issue that we're having right now, but are you backing everything else down so that savings just doesn't go away and you're not able to replenish it?
Yeah, exactly. You articulated that really well, and I was trying to say that earlier. There's been so many changes from the last administration to this administration. Mm-hmm. You called it the rug getting pulled out. That's happened on a lot of different industries here in Nebraska, and you're exactly right. We're going to find out, is our economy in Nebraska strong enough and independent enough to overcome these changes? I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, now we're going to have to rework our salary structure. We're going to have to pay people what they're worth. We're going to have to do these bonuses in a different way.
Yeah.
We're going to maybe have to charge more for this or that. And yeah, Ashley has a great analogy or a thought, and she's exactly right. And it's what you're talking about. If you work yourself up to a certain level, you're going to fill that level up.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed it moving from right after school from an apartment to a house to a bigger home.
Yeah.
And no matter how big our garage was, it was always just full of shit.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so like when we moved from the apartment to our starter home, you could call it, we're like, oh my God, what are we going to do with all this room? We have an extra bedroom, all this stuff. It got filled within a year and a half, two years.
Yeah.
Just shit. And the same thing happened when we moved into this home. Oh my God, a double garage? You know?
Yeah.
What are we going to do with all this room? I can't pull my fucking truck in there right now.
Yeah.
Because we have so much shit. Yep. You know what I mean? And
it's a great, great analogy. You're right.
So and
it's
true.
But it's fun. God damn it. I can't pull my truck in right now because it has all the inflatables to pull behind our boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and here I am whining about a deficit. Is it
right?
Really that
and
bad?
Then you sit there and justify it, right? Because because it is. You're like, oh, I work so hard, I should be able to spend this. Or
and there's truth to
you
that.
Know,
there's
yes,
truth to that.
Exactly.
You shouldn't feel bad for buying toys and having fun on the toys, right?
I know.
And where the thing is to correlate with that is, all right, let's say you're in that situation right now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say your employer calls you and says, man, I'm sorry, things have gotten bad. We got to let you go.
I got to sell the boat.
So that's the thing. Is that what you're doing? Is that what the state's doing? Are you pulling back and saying, okay, we were able to do all of these things, but now we're not.
Right.
So we're not just going to like pretend like we can still do these things and like move some money and hide some money and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to pull all these things out? Are we going to back off? Are we going to go back down to that level that we were previously at?
Right.
And if that's the moves that they're making, then
great.
That's what they should be doing.
And I think that's exactly what's happening. I think that's a combination of why that Johnny Bananas, the fear monger, you could call him on TikTok. He's got a lot of really good points and there's some red flags there. And then on the other side of it, you had our state senators and budget personnel poo-pooing it and just saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal. The truth is in the middle there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the gray.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the gray, for sure.
And it's I just always feel like everyone's big deal is different, right? Like, or everyone's heart is different. It's probably not a big deal to those guys because they deal with it and they're in it all the time.
Yeah.
But to Johnny Bananas...
And that's
yes, like you said,
shtick.
It's the gray.
Yeah.
There is a middle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess stay tuned. But it sounds like our state budget was passed for 2 years now.
It sounds like we're fine. What are you guys talking
about?
Well,
at a minimum, they've done a good job of making it seem like it's not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, it wouldn't even been brought up if it weren't for a couple TikTokers.
I would have never known.
Yeah.
As we said, you know, that sounds like a lot of money. It, you know, our federal government, we see these, debt ceiling conversations multiple times throughout the year. And what happens? They just go to some meeting and they raise the debt ceiling like, oh, no, we can spend more. It's okay. We don't need to pull back, you know.
Yeah.
I thought that's what we were going to get into here when you first said this. I was thinking to myself, oh, my God, the state is just going to print some more money and say, no, it's okay. But it doesn't sound like that's the case.
No. I think in a way... kind of admire Nebraska for saving money, having money in reserves ready to go for this, actually called a rainy day fund. And yeah, now there's going to have to be some recalibrations. And I do, like you're saying, all the tech bros coming in industry, I think that's going to help with this. And I also think my gaming industry, you know, I really follow the gambling industry. That's contributing more and more commerce. And the horse racing industry is getting built back up in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Not saying that that's going to like fix all this, but it's going to be a big player. You know, it's only going to be millions of dollars, not billions of dollars. Yep. But
that's definitely increasing that miscellaneous tax collection of alcohol and tobacco.
That horse racing industry basically went away overnight. I think in the 90s. So there was this big thriving industry of horse racing in and around across Nebraska, and due to a center tax, they call it, but whatever, that it was deemed unholy and not cool and not good for Nebraskans, so it went away like overnight. And it was just hanging on by a thread mm-hmm. for years and years and years, and now it's being rebuilt back up. So now there's stables, there's more races. So yeah, I do think there's going to be a recalibration of all different types of industries. And I like always, since, 1910, Nebraska will figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
when you said gaming, I'm glad you clarified. I thought you meant like video gaming for a second. So that wouldn't bring any funds. So
maybe it would. I don't know.
It's possible.
Probably some of those tournaments, man, they host in Las Vegas, that's thousands of players.
Okay, yeah, true.
So I don't know.
Has it been entered into the Olympics yet?
Oh,
probably will be in
can almost
short
guarantee
order.
It.
Ooh, I bet you're right.
We were talking about all those weird sports in the Olympics, man. Yeah.
You guys remember when we had Michael Severe on? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His son is a gamer and had an athletic scholarship mm-hmm. to college.
Yeah.
Dang.
To game. So it's...
Yeah, it's getting very popular.
But speaking of the Olympics, isn't it coming?
No? The Olympics. I don't know anything about the Olympics.
Wait,
I know the World Cup's
World
coming.
World Cup. Why do I get those confused? Duh. That's next year, right? The World Cup, when we were watching soccer.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll have to talk about that at some point. Sorry.
Watching soccer.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe Nebraska will end up being a... Being an example for everyone to look at, you know, when
one
you get
one way or the other, right?
Yeah,
one way or the other.
I mean,
sure.
I mean,
a good example or a bad example?
We like Nebraska.
Yeah, don't like the property taxes.
I do not like paying that, but
outside
know, what am I
of that,
do? What am I going to do? I get these 65 degree beautiful mornings 6 days a year.
Yep. Yeah. All 6 days. It makes you appreciate those 6 days.
Come to Nebraska. You get 6 days of 60 degrees.
Average 72 degrees. Oh, yeah. That only happens 6 days out of the year.
Right.
Yeah. Let's not talk about the ticks and mosquitoes. Okay.
Yeah. Enough with those.
Moving on.
All right. Well, interesting stuff. You guys got anything else?
Mm-mm.
No. All right. Well, let's close it out. We'll
all right.
See you.
Peace.
Later.